In fact, he was heads over everybody else in his tribe. But when God called him and the people sought him, he hid himself. What did he hide himself in? Don't open your Bibles and go look, because we all know where the story's at. But where did he hide himself? Take it, this man is almost 7 foot tall. Huh? Mm-mm. No. He was almost as big as most trees over there, so I don't think he was in a tree, but. Huh? A cart is almost close. A cart is almost close. Therefore they inquired of the Lord further if any man should come hither. And the Lord answered, behold, he'd hide himself among the stuff. The Hebrew translation is chest or luggage. So he hid himself in the luggage. What's that? Big luggage, yeah. Well, back then it was carried in carts. So that's why I say that's pretty close to being accurate. Pretty close. Two pastors' wives were visiting and sewing their husband's pants. One wife said, my husband is just beside himself. He does not know what to do anymore. He's so tired and depressed. He said he is ready to give up and resign. The other wife said, I'm sorry to hear that, because my husband has never been happier. Our membership is growing. We're out of the financial burdens we once were in. We have such a large and loving congregation. Life could not be any better than it is right now. One woman was mending the seat of her husband. The other was mending the knees. A young couple invited their aged pastor for Sunday dinner. While they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their son what they were having. He replied, goat. The little boy said, goat, replied the pastor. Are you sure that's what we're having? Yep, said the youngster. I heard Paul say to Maul, might as well have the old goat over for supper. Let's get down to the seriousness of God's word. If you have your Bible, and I pray you do, turn over to Psalms 101. Psalms 101. Out of the mouth of babes, they will often repeat exactly what you say. Psalms 101. Tonight's message I entitle as a question. What will you do? What will you do? If you find your place, go ahead and stand out of respect for reading of God's word. Psalms 101. The word of God says, I will sing of mercy and judgment, and to thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. Father God, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your dear son, Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice he made on Calvary's tree. Lord, we thank you for your word that you have freely given us so that we can learn your desires for us. Lord, we pray that you'll come down just for a little while and dwell among us. Lord, bless this service, Lord. Help us to understand, for there's no understanding unless it's through thy spirit. Lord, we do lift up the children in the back, Lord. There'd be a lost one among the house tonight. We pray for that lost one's soul. If there's a Christian here, maybe they're struggling in their walk, May they find comfort in your words and turn to you tonight. Lord, above all things, all that we say and do, we want to be honored and glorified to you. Lord, help your unworthy servant preach for just a little bit. And may you truly receive the honor and the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This 101st Psalm is written, of course, by David, the king of Israel. This chapter is approximately 51 chapters after David's repentance, after Nathan the prophet had confronted him for his adulterous affair. What we find now is a restored servant of God, in such that he's proclaiming a covenant with God. Throughout the 8 verses, you will find the phrase, "I will," or "will I," or "will not I," 9 times. I would like to just take a moment to look at this proclamation that David gave unto the Lord. For it should be one that every Christian should declare and proclaim to God. Verse 1 says, "I will sing of mercy. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Psalms 136, 1. But what is mercy? The definition found in 1828 Webster's Dictionary is a wonderful definition of mercy. It states the benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart, which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or inflict less than the law of justice will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. That which comes nearest to it is grace. It implies benevolence, tenderness, mildness, pity, or compassion, and clemency, but exercised only towards offenders. Mercy is a distinguishing attribute of God. The Lord is long-suffering and great mercy, forgiving iniquities and transgressions. Numbers 8:14-18. David sang of the Lord's tenderness as a heart. He cried aloud when joy of his salvation returned to him. For it was the mercy of God that forgives all of our iniquities. Mercy is what we find in our Savior's hands every time we call upon Him to forgive us of our sins. It is mercy that is shown to us that are saved. For it is the mercy of the cross that secures us from hell's fires. We should sing praises of God's infinite mercy and of His loving kindness. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Sing, Christian, sing. For we have the greatest song ever given to man, the song of salvation. But yet we walk downtrodden. We walk with our heads held down. But the Lord has gave us a song that angels cannot sing. And David says, "I will sing of His mercy. I will sing of His judgments also," he says. "For everything in God we shall find joy. Even in His chastisements it brings peace." There's nothing about our Lord that we should not be able to sing about. There's nothing of God that is not worthy of a song. There's nothing that is not worthy of our attention. David says, "I will sing unto Him all the days of my life. I will proclaim His greatness and His wonders and His joys. I will proclaim everything there is." He even says, "I will pant after His testimonies" in Psalms 119. He pants after His laws. He desires every bit of God. And so shall we. So should we. In His judgments comes upon the unbelievers, those who have been persecuted, a persecuted Christian for years. They shall not find joy in His judgments. But it is His judgments that He sent His Son down on Calvary's hill to pay a price for us, so that we will not receive the judgments of sin. But we should sing of His mercy and of His grace. We must find a song in every attribute of God. It says, "I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. to leave the foolish thoughts and desires of the world. In order to behave wisely, we must submit ourselves to the laws and commandments of our Creator. There is no wiser book than the ones that we hold in our laps right now. There is no greater guide to life than the Word of God. 1 Kings 3:12 says, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither shall there be after thee." We're talking of Solomon. We oftentimes ourselves seek wisdom through books, through education. All wisdom is of God, the Bible says. We seek His wisdom and not man's. There is none wiser than Solomon. And where did his wisdom come from? It was a gift of God. And there's never been one wiser than he. Oh, it says, "When wilt thou come unto me?" David asks God, "When will you come?" You find David ever seeking the presence of God in his life, as we should seek him also. David yearns for the comfort of his master. And he asks, "When are you coming?" Oh, to lay on the breast of Christ as John did and to feel his breath. What comfort there is in our Savior. We should have such a desire to be near to God that we would cry out and ask, "Lord, when are you coming?" We should long for Him every second of the day to continually search for ways to draw closer to Him. We need to seek Him. David says, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." Perfect meaning blameless. To have a blameless heart, one that is freed from sins and holds no bonds of Satan. This is where it starts in every Christian walk. For we cannot walk with Christ unless we have a perfect heart with Him. Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." You stand before Christ in eternity. And as He looks at you, He says, "I have naught against you." What a wonderful thing to be found blameless in Christ. What a wonderful thing when we're called home and stand before our Savior. And He says, "There's nothing I have against thee." This is how we are to walk in our houses with a perfect heart. This is how we should walk our lives upon this earth with a clear, perfect heart for God. One that is not defiled with the wickedness of the world, but one that truly seeks our Savior in His perfection. Everywhere we step, our hearts should be perfect with God, and there should be no sin hidden within, to walk in the secrets of our house and be found blameless. Oh, that we would cry, "Lord, I want to be blameless and perfect in thy sight." David said, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart." He says, "I will, Lord. I will do this for you. Lord, I will walk with you. Lord, I will proclaim you. Lord, I give myself to thee." Not only in the outside in front of everybody in the world. Not only the church services of High Plains Baptist Church. But he says, "In the secret places of my house, will my heart be perfect with you." Oh, what a statement. How we should proclaim such a walk with our God. He said, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes." This is a hard one for the day. This day and time, everywhere we look, we find things that are ugly and wicked. But he says, "Lord, I will set no wicked thing before me." It's hard today to turn around and not find something that's offensive to God. You can't even go to the local grocery store without some yahoo having something profane and ugly on his shirt. You can't walk into Walmart without being offended by what somebody wears. You can't stand in the checkout lines and look at the magazines on the rack without seeing sin. That's not what David's talking about. He's not talking about the things that you can't help. He's not talking about the things that you accidentally come across. He's not talking about the things that just pop up or that you have to see in a day-to-day life. He's not talking about those. What David says is, "I will not set anything wicked before my eyes." He says, "I will not do it on purpose. I will not make a conscious choice to pollute my brain with the garbage of the world," David says. "I will not look at the dirty magazines. I will not watch the junk on TV. I will not go to the theater and listen to blaspheme in the name of my Lord. I will not on purpose sit there and look at things that I should not." We buy our kids video games that are rated for maturity. We watch things on TV that teaches our kids how to murder and kill and to get away with it. We watch things on TV that are X-rated or R-rated or TV-14, whatever rating you want to say, that uses God's name in vain. Women don't wear clothes, men don't wear clothes, but we watch these things in our houses. We put it before our eyes on purpose. And David says, I will not. The eyes are the gateway to the brain. And once you see it, it's there. Once it's in your mind, the devil can use it against you. And David knew this. For one look at Bathsheba, and what happened? One look is all it took. And he desired, and he conceived, and he fell into sin. We don't put things in front of our eyes. Oh, be careful, little eyes, for what you see. It's not just a children's song. That's a biblical lesson. We need to pay attention to what we put in front of our eyes, because it gets in our head and it's there for all eternity. It'll be here on earth, and the devil will use it. It will play with it. He will use it against you. It's like he did David. One look is all it took. Well, be careful what you look at. Make sure you do not do it on purpose. Make a covenant with God and say, God, I promise you, I will not on purpose put the wickedness before me. I won't watch the things that are ungodly. I won't read the things that are ungodly. I won't go and look at things that I should not. That's what David says. Lord, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And he didn't. But be careful what we look at. He says, I hate the work of them that turn aside or turn away from God. We should find no pleasure in the works of Satan. We should find no joy in the counsel of the ungodly. Those that choose the unrighteousness of the world, we should avoid and despise the work that they do. We should turn from those to do the work of night. We should not be there where the ungodly people are. This does not say that we don't go and minister unto them. We do always go and share the gospel with every person and creature upon this earth. But we do not find counsel with them. We do not rest with them. We do not go into their houses with them. We do not spend time with the ungodly people of this world. We minister unto them, the Bible says. But we should not be with them than one that thinks that we are of them. There's a difference. It says that, so talking about sin, it says it shall not cleave to me. It's these things that people we are to stay away from, so we won't get their sin dirt upon us, that we won't become like them. David says that the things of the world will not stick to me. I'm going to tell you that you get close to sin, it's going to reach out and grab a hold of you. It's going to reach out and stick to you like glue. And it's not going to turn loose. Yes, we find repentance in God, for His Word says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm going to tell you, once it gets a hold of you, it scars you. It leaves a permanent mark upon you. David says, I'm going to stay away from it so that it shall not grab a hold of me. It shall not cleave unto me. It shall not knit itself with my body. He learned from the first time. When he fell into sin, he learned to stay away from it so that it did not jump back on him. Because his first sin stained his life very greatly if you read the Word of God. We are to stay as far away from sin as we can so that it does not touch us. A froward heart shall depart from me, he says. Froward means perverse, that is, turning from, with the aversion or reluctance. A froward heart means not willing to yield or to comply with what is required. It means unyielding, ungovernable, refractory, disobedient, or peevish. Deuteronomy 32:20 says, he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom no faith. We should not have a froward heart. We should not have a contrite spirit to God. We should not be unwilling to surrender our will to His. David says, I will not have a froward heart. It means I will yield to God, is what he says. I will have a heart that is pliable, a heart that is of flesh, as in Jeremiah, one that God can work with. He says, I will not have a stony heart. I will use my heart for God. I will give it to Him, that His will be had in my life. We oftentimes have an unyielding heart. We oftentimes have a heart that does not give over to God because we want to do the things that we want to do. David says, I will not have such a heart. My heart will be given to God, that He can use it for what He wants, for His intended purpose. Yielded and sold out. He says, I will not know a wicked person. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, that ye be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I will not know a wicked person. We must not determine in our lives not to stand with the wickedness of the world. Yes, we should know, we should minister unto them, as I said before. But to know them in the relationship way, we should not. David said, I will remain away from them. I will not dwell among them, so I'll not become like them. We should never be recognized with the wicked crowd of the world. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. David says, I will stand by myself, away from the wickedness. He says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, there's to be no gossip from our lips. There should be no tongues that speak of the misfortune of others. Our lips should be used only for the edifying and glorification of God, not for the tearing down of our friends and our brothers. Our lips are to be used for ministering into others. Our lips are to be used to give the gospel of Jesus Christ, not to do the work of Satan, not to destroy his people, not to tell lies and ruin hopes and dreams and families. Relationships of neighbors are often destroyed because of perverse words. And the same goes in our churches. Our churches are easily destroyed by the gossip of others. David said, he shall not. He said, him that have an high look and a proud heart, will not I suffer. Proverbs 6:16 and 17 says this, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be ye clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves therefore under the Almighty, or the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. There is no room for pride in our lives. What do we have to be proud of? The Bible tells us each one of us are sinners, that we are all born into iniquity. What do we have to be proud of? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, for there is none righteous. No, not one. What are we to be proud of? Everything that we have as Christians come from who? God. It is His glory. It is His gift. It is not our boastfulness. We do not boast of ourselves. We are to give God all the glory and all the recognition for everything that we have. For it was the gift of His Son that freed us from our sins' chains. It is His power and His might that we serve. And it is His ability that we do things. We have nothing of our own. What should we boast of? Boast of God. For He is our all in all. It is not of ourselves. It is of Him. Mine eye shall be upon the faithful of the land. 2 Corinthians 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. God is looking for those that serve Him. And as David sought the same, every Christian needs friendship. Every person needs somebody to rely upon, somebody that they can go to and trust. But David says, I will seek them that are faithful. And we should too. We should find our friends and those who are of the like manner. Those who are equally yoked with us. We should seek those that are of God to have our friendship with, not those that are of the world. We can find comfort in those that praise and worship God, not those that do the works of the devil. David says, I didn't want anybody to serve with him unless they first serve the Lord. Should be the same qualities that we look in our friends. Should be the same desires that we have. Lord, send me a godly friend that can minister unto me and I unto them. Lord, we need friends, but they have to be of the right caliber. He that walketh in the perfect way, he shall serve me. The king only uses those that meets his standards, those that measure up to the laws of the book of the Bible. They shall serve in the king's court if they walk in a perfect way. God cannot use a dirty vessel. You will not drink out of a dirty cup, and a dirty cup shall not be set on the Lord's table. It shall be set aside and provide no service to the master until it becomes clean. And once the vessel is clean, it once again is placed upon the Lord's table to serve him. We have to be found in a perfect way for God to use us. Cleansed of all unrighteousness and of a perfect heart. We must walk as he walks. And as he walked upon this earth without sin. We must be holy for he is holy. We must be found obedient to all the laws and commandments. Not just the ones we like. To serve, we must be worthy of the call. And to be worthy of the cause, to have a perfect heart with him. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. Proverbs 12:19 says, the lips of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. We must tell the truth. We must not lie upon our neighbor. We must not lie towards one another. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in his sight. Revelation 21:8 says, be the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We shall not bear false witness against one another. God cannot use a liar, for who believes a liar when they go to speak of his name? No one. God cannot use one to tell stories, for his word is truth. It must be told in truth. A lying tongue cannot do the work of God, only the work of Satan, who is the father of all lies. Zechariah 8:16 says, these are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man the truth of his neighbor. Execute the judgments of truth and peace in your gates. Must always be found telling the truth. It says, I will utterly destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all the wicked doers from the city of the Lord. There is but one thing that destroys wickedness. Revelation 19:21 says, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. There is but one thing that destroys the wickedness of this world. And it's the same thing that destroyed the wickedness in our heart, and that's the word of God. We are to proclaim his gospel. We are to teach his word. We are to tell his testimonies, his laws and his commandments everywhere we go. For that is what brings light into the dark places of this world. And it is this word that destroys the darkness. It is this word that destroys the wickedness. And that's what we need to give the word. The world is his word. Bullets and bombs is not going to get it done. Fighting with hands and fists is not going to get it done. But the word of God will get it done. David says, I will destroy the wicked. The only way the wicked is destroyed is with the truth of God. We must give it. We can't conquer the world, but the word of God can. We today must take a stand in our lives just as David did. We must look up to heaven and cry out to God and say, I will, as David did. I will sing mercies and judgments. I will behave wisely and perfect. To cry out to him and say, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside. I will not cleave nor let sin cleave to me. I will not have a froward heart. I will know no wicked person. I will not slander. I will not have a proud heart. My eyes shall seek the faithful of God. I will serve the faithful men. I will not stand for lying. I will destroy the wickedness with the word of God. We need to cry out to God just as David did. And make a proclamation unto our Savior. Make a proclamation before God in prayer saying, Lord, I will submit my will to you. I will stand for you. I will speak of you. I will love you and I will obey you and I will trust you. This is what David is saying in Psalms 101. He says, Lord, I will do your work. I will obey you. I will do all that you have asked and commanded me to do. Because he sings of his mercy. He knows the mercy of God. He knew what he came from. He knew what he had been forgiven. He says, Lord, I love you. And I will keep your commandments. How about us today? Can we say as David did, Lord, I will. I will no longer say no, Lord. But I say I will. Our hearts need to be yielded. Our spirits need to be yielded. And as David says, Lord, I will. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace and for the time that we're allowed to spend with you. It's a hard thing, Lord, to surrender our hearts to you. We fight the flesh so much. But Lord, help us to surrender our will to you, that we may become usable, that we may become faithful servants. Lord, for it's not our will that gets things done, but yours. It's not our will that matters, but yours. It's not our will, Lord, that does anything. But Lord, it's your will. It's your will that sent your Son. It's your will that we were saved. Lord, help us to love you as we should. Lord, have your way and your will, Lord, in our lives and in this invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The altar is open. Are you truly surrendered to God tonight? Or are you doing your own will? It's God's will.